If the U.S. military goes to war in Iraq, it will fight that war just a little differently because of the obsessions of a single man. Starting in the 1950s, Air Force Colonel John Boyd altered U.S. military tactics, helped to develop the F-16 fighter plane, and attracted disciples who kept crusading to reform the Pentagon even after Boyd's death. John Boyd was also slovenly, arrogant, and profane. A 1966 Air Force evaluation describes him as an intense and impatient man who does not respond well to close supervision. Biographer Robert Corum has written his own evaluation of John Boyd's life, and he joins us now. Hi, Mr. Corum.
Hello.
John Boyd wasn't a war hero and wasn't a general, so how did he have so much influence?
He was one of the most important unknown men of our time. His ideas were behind our victory in the Gulf War. He was a man who changed the way the U.S. Marine Corps goes into battle and also turned them into the most intellectual branch of the U.S. military.
He started his career as a fighter pilot.
He did. 42nd Boyd, the man who took on all comers and defeated them in less than 40 seconds, or he would pay them $40, and he never paid off. No one ever defeated him. He was Pope John. He ruled the skies.
Now, wait a minute. When you're saying would take on all comers and defeat them in 40 seconds, you're talking about on a test range, on a training range.
Yes. Simulated air-to-air combat. He would put them on his tail, on his 6 o'clock position, and say that he could reverse the position in under 40 seconds, or he would pay off. And he usually did it in about 15 or 20 seconds.
Now, I know there's been a lot of fighter pilots who are famous for their bravery, for their instinctive flying. I mean, Chuck Yeager is a name that's well known to people, but I gather that Boyd's accomplishment was actually thinking about what he did instinctively and why it actually worked.
He sensed there was still something else, that he could see the far shore, but he couldn't reach it. There was something he did not know, and he knew he had to have an engineering degree to finish his work. So he went to school at Georgia Tech in Atlanta, and it was there about midnight one night, studying for a thermodynamics exam, that he had the epiphany that resulted in what became known as the energy maneuverability, or EM theory. It changed aviation forever. Before EM, pilots, as you mentioned earlier, intuitively had a sense that it was not airspeed they should be concerned about, but energy. They knew not to turn with a zero in World War II. They knew intuitively a Phantom driver, an F-4 pilot, should not turn at high altitudes with a MiG. Boyd codified that. He developed his theory, showed how aircraft performed at various altitudes, various speeds, all parts of the flight regime. Until energy maneuverability, it was assumed that American aircraft were the best, and energy maneuverability showed that was not the case, that our aircraft were grossly inferior in many respects to those of the Soviet Union. And it was out of that awareness that the F-15 was born, and Boyd was the father of the F-15.
He's quite a character, and I wonder if I could get you to read the description on page 187. John Boyd and a defense contractor and also one of his kind of acolytes or disciples, a man named Tom Christie, they all go to a movie called Blue Max in the 1960s, and it's about World War I pilots.
I'll read from that page. The movie has many air-to-air combat scenes, and during one of them, Boyd began mumbling, "Hose him, hose him." Christie and the defense contractor smiled. Boyd was being Boyd. But then Boyd's voice grew louder. "Hose him." People seated nearby turned to look. Christie elbowed Boyd. "John," he admonished, "it's just a movie." Boyd was quiet a few moments. But during the next aerial engagement, as the German fighters played a deadly game of grab-ass with British fighters, Boyd disapproved of the tactics. "Break left, break left," he shouted. Now people for several rows around were turning to look. "John," Christie said. He was so embarrassed he almost moved to another seat. Boyd was so intense in evaluating the air-to-air combat that he forgot he was in a movie. Finally, he could take no more. He stood up, waved both arms, jabbed one hand toward the screen, and shouted at the top of his lungs, "You missed the goddamn shot! Hose him, you stupid bastard!" Christie shook his head in dismay. Not for Boyd, but for those in the Pentagon. They were bureaucrats. Boyd was a warrior.
Biographer Robert Corum reading a description that he wrote of John Boyd, Air Force Colonel John Boyd. Mr. Corum, how did people in the Pentagon respond to this guy? in the 1960s when he ran around telling them that all their tactics were wrong and everything had to be done his way.
He invited one general to a party, and the general said, "No, I don't need you to tell me again how stupid I am." Boyd thought the generals did nothing but get promoted. He was utterly contemptuous of them, and in several instances stuck his cigar to their ties and set their ties on fire, which is a bit disconcerting for a general, I suppose.
You speaking metaphorically here, or he really did that?
No, quite literally. He stuck his cigar to a general's tie and set it on fire.
Needless to say, though, John Boyd never became a general.
He was lucky to have gotten beyond major. Had it not been for the influence of some friends, he would have retired as a major rather than as a full colonel. The military is a top-down hierarchical organization, and they're just not institutionally rigged to handle mavericks such as Boyd. They thought he was a talented mathematician and nothing else, that he was unprofessional, that he should leave the service, that he didn't dress properly, that he didn't show the proper tone of respect, that he was too consumed by his theories and not enough by careerism, I suppose.
What was the family life like for this man who was in the military for so long and who was so utterly obsessed with his work?
That's the dark side of John Boyd. All of us have our dark sides, and like many men of accomplishment, men of genius, if you will, Boyd ignored his family, and it caused enormous emotional problems with his children that continue to exist today. They did not know of many of his contributions. He would come home from flying at 30,000 feet and 500 miles an hour and tell them about the new tactics he had devised and this idea he could see off in the distance and how he was going to change aviation forever, and they laughed, thinking he was just chattering away. It's easy to see a bit of skepticism there, and it's easy to understand why he would stop talking about it later.
How did John Boyd's life end?
Terribly. He, as a pilot, as active duty military man, he had physicals once a year, and he retired in 1974 and did not have any more physicals after that. And in 1994, I believe it was, he discovered he had advanced prostate cancer. He ignored the symptoms for years, and when he died in 97, it was a very unpleasant death.
What does that say about the man?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he continued to work on patterns of conflict, his major briefing, the seven-hour briefing, right up until he got so sick he couldn't deliver it anymore. So his work was going on, and he had a feeling that he had been ignored, that he was considered a kook, that the people in his hometown back in Erie never knew, understood, or appreciated his contributions, that he would be overlooked by history. And I think his last years were this desperate race to try to make sure that was not the case.
Robert Corum is the author of Boyd, the Fighter Pilot Who Changed the Art of War. He spoke to us from Atlanta. Mr. Corum, thanks very much for taking the time.
Thank you.